Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. Well, we've gotten through an election and the first big holiday. Theaters are doing well as tourists start heading into New York. And just in time, there are holiday-themed shows, and not just a Nutcracker. For starters, the Marquee Theater is hosting Elf the Musical through January 4th. The New York Times called this one delightfully, entirely right. And then at the theater at Madison Square Garden, Whoopi Goldberg's Miss Hannigan will do all she can to prevent those lovable orphans from enjoying Christmas at Daddy Warbucks' mansion. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, Annie is back from December 4th to January 4th. Though Goldberg joins the cast on December 11th. I am taking my niece's daughter, coming from Portugal, to that one. Now back to what shows are doing big biz. Of the 39 currently running Broadway productions, well, the financial numbers of the week are the usual. Gypsy, in previews, doing really well. Wicked, $2.5 million, even though the screen version is up and is now the highest grossing movie ever based on a Broadway musical. Then we have The Lion King, Hamilton, Sunset Boulevard, and McNeil, which just ended a successful run at Lincoln Center, proving at least three things. A big star matters, in that case, Robert Downey Jr., and subscribers matter. Lincoln Center audiences are very loyal. Oh, yes, and that mediocre reviews do not really matter. Continuing on the list, though, let's go back to that. We have The Outsiders, MJ, Hell's Kitchen, Oh Mary! Exclamation point, Aladdin, The Great Gatsby, Elf, and Death Becomes Her. By the way, shows get a lift when they are part of the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, which had a record 30 million viewers. The Outsiders, Hell's Kitchen, and Death Becomes Her were among the chosen ones this year. Now, on another subject, that being mixed mediums, the disappointment of the week, and still confusing some, was PBS's decision not to air 2023's Ragtime Reunion Concert, which celebrated the 25th anniversary of the show's Broadway opening. It was considered absolutely spectacular. The reunion starred original cast members Audra McDonald, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Peter Friedman, and Kelly O'Hara. It also included a special appearance by Lea Michele, who had been the little girl in the original. Well, Ragtime is definitely having a memory moment. An Encore's production last month was a total sellout with lines around the block. Now, occasionally those Encore productions go on to, or in this case, go back to Broadway. That happened with Chicago and Into the Woods, of course. P.S. Chicago beat its prior Thanksgiving week gross record last week, making $900,000 for the week ending December 1st. Huh, that surpassed last year's record. What can I say? Meanwhile, yet another documentary about a performer is on the way, and that is Liza, a truly terrific, absolutely true story, which spotlights, of course, Liza Minnelli's life in the 1970s. It will open in New York January 24th and in Los Angeles January 31st. The film follows Minnelli after the death of her mother, Judy Garland. The young actress confronts a range of personal and professional challenges on the way to becoming an international superstar. The documentary illuminates her relationships with mentors like Bob Fosse, Michael Feinstein, Mia Farrow, Ben Vereen, Joel Grey, and the late Cheetah Rivera. Now, this was not one of my five show weeks, by the way, but I did see one called 300 Paintings. This one is at the always interesting Vineyard Theater off Broadway. It's an 80-minute piece written and performed by Australian Sam Kasadukian. Part stand-up, part documentary, part soliloquy. It is a top favorite. It was a top favorite in Edinburgh at the Fringe Festival. The storyline, too hard to explain, but in 2021, over the course of five intense and unpredictable months, Kasadukian created 300 large-scale paintings, unknowingly documenting his mental state through an extended manic bipolar episode. Throughout the show, the playwright performer examines that period of his life and explores the ties between art, mental health, and creativity. He's a very likable performer to spend time with. Again, that's 300 paintings at the Vineyard. Now, speaking of off-Broadway, the Pulitzer Prize-winning play English by Sanaz Tusi is on its way to Broadway. The play begins preview performances at the Todd Haymes Theater on January 3rd. Now, let me say here that it's one of many shows recently that have been penned by women. I know I've talked about this a bit, but let me count the ways. What's interesting is that these pieces tend to be of the heavier variety. Katori Hall has consistently reached into our political and cultural situations. The Mountaintop cleverly deals with Martin Luther King on his final night. Yes, she wrote the musical about Tina Turner, but if that woman did not represent power, who did? Anyway, she has a new show, Katori Hall, which I've reviewed. It's now at the Mitzi Newhouse Theater at Lincoln Center. And I recently visited London, as I've spoken here about, to see A Face in the Crowd, a new musical based on the classic 1957 movie, written by, well, Sarah Rule. I could hardly be more timely and Trumpian, by the way. Even a piece like Delia Ephron's Left on 10th is more than your basic feel-good-after-almost-dying love story. It's full of joy, but has tremendous threat in it, Ephron told me. I don't think of my work as being political per se, but because I always write smart characters, it proclaims a belief in the strength of women. Theater is more open to women than film and television. That's the end of Delia Ephron's quote. Female playwrights, in fact, have become first choices. A stage adaptation of Ray Bradbury's dystopian novel, Fahrenheit 451, is in development and aiming for Broadway. This one will be adapted by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Martina Majok. Bradbury's book, of course, is an anti-censorship manifesto, and it was written during the McCarthy era. And here's the punchline. Even a feminist take on Death of a Salesman is coming. It begins the day that Willie dies and dramatically wonders what Mrs. Lohman will do. The production is written by Barbara Cassidy and directed by Megan Finn. I rest my case. Finally, the deaths of the week worth mentioning are Marshall Brickman, known mostly for films that he co-wrote with Woody Allen, like Annie Hall and Manhattan, my two favorites. But he also had stage cred, as in a musical about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons called Jersey Boys, which of course became a long-running hit. Then there was also a woman named Helen Gallagher. Now, I confess I did not know her, but she had Tony Award-winning performances in revivals of Pal Joey and No, No, Nanette. And she ended on the long-running soap opera, Ryan's Hope. Anyway, Helen Gallagher died in Manhattan. She was 98. And Elton John. No, he didn't die. Don't worry. Though the show he worked on, Tammy Faye, just did. He has done the music for a new one called The Devil Wears Prada. Well, we've been waiting for that one here a long time. Well, it just started in London, where on opening night, Elton John revealed he has pretty much lost his eyesight. Well, just so he doesn't lose his hearing, so he can keep hitting those notes we all love. Anyway, get yourself to a live show. This is the time, and I'll see you here next week.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.